You're about to hear from the Speaker of the House. Actually, we know who the Speaker of the House really is. So, Father, we ask now that you would help us understand how you have created our bodies and how you desire for us to steward these bodies that you've given us. So, Father, would you speak the words that you want spoken and hold back the words that you don't want spoken here? And we commit this this little teaching to you for your glory, for your praise, in Yeshua's name. So, I, as you know, have, well, maybe you don't know, but I've been helping Wanda with the cancer journey that she's been on. But I've also been very intrigued and very interested in the journey that I've been on and how to understand that more from a perspective of health. And so it's been a year now since we started with the current protocol for Wanda's cancer. And the result has been she's making big steps in improvement. The circulating tumor cell count is down by half now, which is a wonderful report. And the remarkable thing in my health was a tremendous step forward, and I'll share more about that, as something that has been latent for all of my life, basically. Well, no, since after college, basically, that I've had a lot of health issues. And suddenly, this last year, a transformation has happened. And I've been on a journey of 25 years here of trying to understand health from a natural perspective, because I've always felt like there's more to it than what the medical profession is trying to tell us and help us with. And so the pieces started falling together during this past year, and I feel like something really profoundly simple has fallen into my lap. And I, about a month ago, I started feeling like I want to share this, and I felt the Lord giving me the invitation to do that. So I mentioned to Rhonda, so she agreed to that. So I want to talk about health and nutrition. There's more to it than just a diet that we do. So I want to talk about the condition that we find ourselves in as a modern society with our health today. I want to talk about my personal journey. I want to introduce the concept of the human microbiome and how it relates to health. I want to talk about the good guys and the bad guys in the human microbiome, and what does that mean? And healthy food, is sugar bad? I want to talk about our immune system, the importance of shalom in health. I want to talk about something called glutamate. I want to talk about the importance of sleep and how to what hinders sleep, so that we can have the kind of rest and deep sleep that is so necessary for our health. Toxins, detoxing, and lastly, exercise. So, 150 years ago, most of the illnesses that people had, I'm going to call acute. you get the chicken pox, you get the measles, you get pneumonia, you get whatever virus is the virus of the day, and you get it treated, or you just let your immune system take its course and you're well. It's a short-lived sort of experience. Very few chronic diseases were present 150 years ago. Today, we have chronic issues, diseases. These are diseases that are ongoing. You don't get over them. They keep going. You have heart disease, you have diabetes, you have, on the list here, MS, Alzheimer's, ADHD, autism. You all know what NAFLD is? No. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. We know how alcoholics have liver problems, but there is a phenomena that's really running rampant now, and it's called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. A serious condition, because the liver eventually gives up. We have fibromyalgia, Parkinson's, lupus, and so forth. So these chronic diseases, modern diseases, if you will, were few and far between 150 years ago. But today they're the major cause of death. Cancer and cardiovascular are the two major causes of death. And that's premature death. I mean, we shouldn't be dying of cancer. We shouldn't be dying of cardiovascular. One expert that I found said that the life expectancy of the younger generation will have decreased so much that by 2030 it'll be common for parents to be burying their children. Wow. It's really an epidemic that we have here of health. And yet we have one of the most sophisticated healthcare systems in the world that we've ever had. What's wrong with this picture? So I want to share my story. So my mom was big into organic farming. She didn't know she was doing organic, but she was, because her father, my granddad, started farming. And in those days, this was 1900, about when he started, late 1800s, that in those days, there wasn't such a thing as chemicals and stuff that you put on. It was all organic. And he had a small farm, a truck farm in eastern Pennsylvania, and he would sell his produce out at the up by the road, a little stand that people would come on our system and buy the produce. He put his 9 children through college on this little truck farm. It was amazing. So my mom picked up that interest and that skill, and so we had a big garden. We grew stuff. We ate a lot of fresh or canned type of vegetables and everything. And so I consider myself quite healthy in those years. Well, about age 18, age 20, something like that, while in college, the local university, medical university, Boston College Medical University, conducted a clinical trial. They wanted to see if they could solve the acne problem that so many teens had, and I was one of those. So I agreed to this clinical trial. The clinical trial for acne back then, they pumped me full of one particular antibiotic, tetracycline, and I was taking handfuls of these tetracycline pills, and this continued. This was a 6-month trial. I was consuming all of this antibiotic, and simultaneously, every 10 days, I'd go in, and they'd sunburn my face. I'm in this sunburn deal. I mean, it would actually burn it, and so they were seeing if that was going to solve the acne problem. So clearly now from this perspective, that was not a good deal from a health standpoint for me. And sure enough, a few years later, age 26 or so, I began to have some real serious health problems, urinary tract infections and kidney stones and prostate infection. And it got really, really intense and really bad. And they were having trouble, ended up sending me to Mayo Clinic and so forth. But we finally got it resolved. So at age 55, I began to experience this phenomena that you're now hearing, and it's called spasmodic dysphonia with a voice problem. It's related to Parkinson's and so forth. So age 58, began staying away from sugar. Age 60, began believing that regular fasting was important. So at the encouragement of our pastor of our church, that wanted people to do an extended fast, I did a 40-day water fast. I've since learned about the problems with long extended fast and a number of 15-day fasts. At age 65, I really began to realize that I was not doing well. I had a lot of gut problems. SIBO, if you've heard of that, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. I had a lot of that kind of stuff going on. Severe leg cramps at night. I mean, you talk about leg cramps. This was over the top severe. I mean, couldn't get out of bed and tears. And it was really, and it's sleep problems like a lot of us have. Just can't get a really good, solid night of sleep. Always feeling cold, wearing long underwear in the summertime. prostate problems so forth. So at age 66, I began studying a lot of standard process materials. I got interested in standard process. They have these supplements that they call whole food supplements. And as we go through this thing, you'll see the significance of whole foods. So I began to have some success with these. Age 76, that was a year and a few months ago, Wanda, I attended a Seventh-day Adventist health retreat about Wanda's cancer and so forth. And we began implementing a plant-based keto diet as a result, but no real change in my symptoms. So age 77, which was about a year ago to the day, we then committed to a different life diet and lifestyle plan that Chris Wark has developed and has an impressive track record for healing cancer naturally. There's a lot of people that have long-term survivors from the plan that he has. So that was a year ago. Today, I am no longer taking those 50-some supplements that I was taking a year ago for these issues that I talked about. And all these issues have resolved or are being resolved. The spasmodic dysphonia, I believe, is on its way out. Amen. And So something significant happened as a result of this lifestyle that Chris Bork calls square one. It's going back to square one of how man should have lived in the first place, should be living. So he calls it square one. So clearly something has changed here for the better. So let's talk about how Yahweh intends our bodies to function. So here's a cell. We have 37 trillion of these little guys in our body. 37 trillion. Yeah, good number. And in our cells are these little guys called mitochondria guys. And here's an exploded view here of the mitochondria. And the mitochondria are really the energy source for our cells. So the mitochondria are the little energy-producing generator guys for making our cell happy and strong. And the mitochondria, they get the raw materials for their need from the body's microbiome. So the microbiome is a subculture within our human body, a subculture of microorganisms, little bacteria guys and stuff in our body that are producing the raw materials for the mitochondria. And we have over 100 trillion, three times as many of these bacteria as we do have human cells. So it's a very important part of our physical body. The microbiome consists of our mouth, our digestive tract, and our skin. All have these together, these 100 trillion bacteria. And the purpose of the microbiome is to convert the food we eat, what we take in, into the nutrition that's needed by the mitochondria in their cells. So here's kind of the best picture I could come up with. It's kind of lame, but here's our digestive tract. Well, you know what the digestive tract looks like. And here's all those little bacteria guys that are part of the microbiome. So the microbiome goes to work to put the substance into the bloodstream that the mitochondria are asking for. It's amazing the way the human body is made. The organs in their body talk to each other to find out what they need, and they, you know, share stuff. Well, the mitochondria tells the microbiome what it needs, and it feeds it into the bloodstream so it can go to the mitochondria. And so in our microbiome, there's good guys and bad guys. There's the good bacteria that are helping the body. They're giving the right nutrition and everything. There's bad bacteria guys that are trying to thwart that whole process and kill off the good guys. So it's important that we have an abundance of good guys in our microbiome. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. And that's where these chronic diseases come in. If we don't have enough good guys and too many bad guys, the mitochondria are not getting the nutrition that they need, and our body becomes weak and unable to do its job. So a healthy microbiome in conjunction with the body's immune system, is able to ward off outside invaders like colds, flu, chickenpox, measles, etc. However, an unhealthy microbiome is not able to deal with the outside invaders and will allow the various organs in our body to become dysfunctional. And so when an organ becomes dysfunctional, we move into a state of chronic disease. Yeah, Celeste.
Well, of that over 100 trillion, do they know how many good and bad?
Well, that
around that number?
Or? Yeah, I don't know. And it probably varies in the health.
Health
of the person.
Now, they might have 200 trillion. All right. Just wondered if there was a known.
Yeah, no, I don't. And so when the heart becomes dysfunctional, obviously, we have cardiovascular disease. When the pancreas becomes dysfunctional, we have diabetes and so forth. So when we start to experience these chronic diseases now, the conventional medical establishment, today's medical establishment, will say, okay, we'll take care of you by giving you this particular pharmaceutical. And that pharmaceutical will attempt to stay the course here and help heal the problem, but it doesn't get to the root cause of the problem. It only treats it. And so we end up with always taking pharmaceuticals or supplements for the rest of our life to try to mitigate the symptoms that we're having. So let's get to the root cause of what's going on. So Chris Wark, who is a 22-plus-year colon cancer survivor, developed a strategy as a proven track record for healing cancer naturally. And that's what we've been tied into. It's called Square One. He gives the credit to God, since at the time he put it together, the microbiome, good guy, bad guy, science really didn't exist. And so this is, like I said, this is a strategy Wanda and I are doing. So how do we encourage good guys and discourage the bad guys? And God designed us and provided the answer for that back in the Garden of Eden. And we need to take advantage of what he's helped us with. So we are a part of this Square One group. And in that Square One group, we have access to weekly group coaching sessions by a gal by the name of Jody Ledley. And Jody, she's a degreed microbiologist, a lab scientist, and she works in a hospital's lab where they bring in the blood from the different patients that are in the hospital. And so she grows the bacteria in the lab to find out what particular bacteria this patient is suffering from and what antibiotic will deal with it. So she has some profound things to say to us about how these good guys and bad guys grow in our human body. So I'd like to share.
Okay, Greg says, one time I believe he shared photos of petri dishes with plant-based culture medium and animal-based culture medium. You were making the point about what medium grows good guys and what medium grows bad guys. Could you show that again? I have several friends with chronic issues. I'm trying to help them understand the power of plant-based diet. Thanks. Well, yeah, I'd love to. It's one of my favorite topics, and I think it helps, you know, people that haven't seen this. It helps really show why food is important and what it does. So first thing that you need to know is historically, you know, first let me say most of the cancer types today, they found a microbial cause, like colon cancer is usually Fusobacterium. Breast cancer can be Bifrigilis, Fusobacterium, Lyme. There's a couple other ones. Pancreatic cancer is usually Fusobacterium and Malassezia fungus. So think of food as an antibiotic dosage that you need. And the reason why I say there's antibiotics in food is because the falcarinol and the epigenin and all of the things we're trying to get are actually in the plant to protect it from bacteria, fungus, and parasites and viruses underneath the ground. You know, that's what the falcarinol does. It protects the root. So it's no surprise that it can protect us too, in an antimicrobial way that doesn't kill good bacteria. But what you're looking at here, this is how antibiotics are actually tested to see if they work. So if you see the foggy area of that petri dish, that's bacteria. And then the tablet that's there is an antibiotic disc, and they measure the zones. See, the zone is the big clearing around the pill. And the bigger the zone, the more effective the substance is. So you can do the same thing with food, which really blows the minds of my coworkers. So I just think it's, when you see these next pictures, it's just a testimony to food. So this next one is different bacteria that I plated and garlic stuck in the middle of it. So the first one is group B strep, and you can see the big zone around the little tablet of garlic, and you can see that the bacteria tried to grow up to it and then it couldn't. That means the bacteria is effective at killing it. And then in the next picture, you see there's staph and E. coli, and you can see the zones around the garlic. And then there's Klebsiella, which is a really hard one to kill. Garlic was really effective on that. And if you have a problem with gonorrhea, it's really effective. Has a nice clear zone. And then there's MRSA, which is resistant to penicillin and oxacillin. But you can see there that the little tablet of garlic created the nice zone. And then the bottom left is Proteus, Proteus mirabilis. And then the bottom right picture, because it's cut off, it's VRE resistant Klebsiella, which is very, 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 very hard to kill. So that one we had to send to the health department because we didn't have any antibiotics that worked. But look, garlic worked. So that patient needs some garlic. I just hope this, seeing this visual, it just solidifies what the food can do for you to balance your terrain. The plate, you know why it's red? Those plates are red because they have sheep's blood in them plus some amino acids, because they're really good growth formula for bad bacteria, and that's why we use them to grow bacteria. But look, we ourselves are made of blood, and so we are a good growth medium. But if we put the plants in, we can keep the bad guys at bay. Okay, so what Greg is talking about, I have to give you a little background. The red plate I've already described has blood in it. And it grows bad guys. The one on the right is a chocolate auger, and that auger has a little more glucose in it. And I was, after I did my experiment there, I wanted to find out, okay, so garlic's really potent, and I had a bunch of other things I tested, but what if it kills good bacteria too? Because that wouldn't be good, and that's what's happening with a lot of these studies are like effective at killing cancer, but guess what? It also kills the good guys, so it doesn't matter. And that's the same thing with like the off-label dewormers. Yeah, they can kill cancer, but also it doesn't usually end up well because it also kills the bad guys, which you've seen in animals like dogs. Dogs who are on HeartGuard, which has ivermectin every month, have astronomically higher cancer rates than wild dogs with worms. So it's a lot to wrap your head around here. But anyhow, I bought some probiotic capsules, which we don't take probiotics. But I bought some probiotic capsules for this experiment, and I don't have a picture of it because I don't know what I did with it. But I tried to grow the good bacteria on our regular plates. It would not grow because it doesn't like the amino acids in the blood. It likes the glucose. So it grew well on this chocolate agar, and come to find out there's a specific agar called MSE, and it grows lactobacillus, one of the really protective anti-cancer strains of good gut bacteria, really well. And it has it had basically 20 times the amount of glucose than, well, the sheep's blood doesn't have any, but it had a large dose of it to get that growing really well. And what I found interesting when I was reading about it is that the agar that they replaced, that they used to grow lactobacillus on, was a tomato agar. So, you know, the good guys like plants. You know, they like plant carbs. That's what helps grow them. So when you see people on low-carb diets, they may have initial tumor shrinkage, but that, you know, it's very hard to find a low-carb survivor because they might kill off some bad guys, but then they're also killing off all their good guys. So you need immune cells need carbs, and good bacteria needs carbs, and carbs from plants are really amazing growth formula. Okay.
So let's take a minute here and think about what she just shared. So we have good guys and bad guys in our blood. And if we're going to deal with the bad guys, we sure don't want to feed them with amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. And the blood augers would grow the bad guys, but the blood augers would not grow the good guys. The good guys need glucose. They need, and they do need the amino acids, but they need the amino acids that are protected by the enzymes that surround them in the plants that we eat. So, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later here, some health studies that were done starting in the 70s and continuing on, how a plant-based diet has led to health and longevity, and how they've studied groups of people. I mean, they've got 130,000 people that they've studied, and how a more carnivore diet has resulted long-term in less health and less longevity. And it's this whole thing about amino acids, unprotected amino acids, that grow good guys. And notice you said on the blood auger, she couldn't grow the good guys. They wouldn't grow. And so and she also talked about how certain plant compounds can target and kill certain bad guys. The garlic example there. I mean, it killed so many of the different bacteria, the MRSA and the, these others, far more powerful than the pharmaceuticals. So her strategy is to help us identify what particular plant substance can kill the particular cancer bacteria that Wanda's dealing with. But it can be same strategy for any disease that we have, any chronic disease that we have. So if we don't have any plant compounds in our bloodstream, then what kind of bacteria are we going to grow? We're going to grow the bad guys. So a plant-based vegan type of diet Oh, here's where it, so the Adventist Health Study, there were two of them. One of them was completed in 1988, 34,000 participants. The other one started in 2002, is still ongoing, 97,000 participants. And these health studies have pretty well concluded that the vegan or almost vegan with a little bit of meat occasional, these were the healthiest and the longest living people. Another interesting data point is from a commentary, the Blue Zones. I don't know if any of you have heard of the Blue Zones, but this fellow had this real interest, and he traveled the world, and he identified five little pockets of communities around the world where people were living past 100 years, and they're living very healthily.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
That last slide?
Yeah.
Just on that second bullet point?
Yeah.
Last sentence. I found that, like, impactful. You didn't read that one, but the least healthy? Like,
yeah, that's where...
That's incredible.
Yeah, those were the ones that were or on the carnivore side of.
Consume very little plant.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an
most of us don't even want to think about dying, getting frail, losing vitality, closing our eyes for the last time. Wow, my friend. But one thing's for sure. It's coming. The question is, when? How many years will you get out of your body? And do we even have any say in the matter? I have found that most of what people think lead to a long, healthy life is misguided or just plain wrong. It's not like we don't care about this stuff. Every year, Americans spend billions of dollars on diet plans, gym memberships, and supplements. But it's clearly not working for us. The fact of the matter is that most of us are leaving good years on the table. Worldwide, about two-thirds of the 8 billion people on this planet will die prematurely from an avoidable disease. And in America, for the first time in a century, life expectancy is dropping. So how do we fix this? I believe it's not by trying to prevent death. It's by learning how to live. What if we could reverse engineer longevity? Well, I spent the last 20 years trying to do just that, but instead of looking for answers in petri dishes or test tubes, I found five places around the world where people are getting the outcomes we want. Some of these places are islands, other places are mountains. Some are impossibly remote, but some are surprisingly urban. And though they're vastly different on the surface, remarkably, they all share the same common denominators. They all follow roughly the exact same formula that produces the longest lived people on the planet. These people live to 100 at the highest rates in the world. They're living vibrant, active, happy lives. And perhaps the biggest takeaway is they live longer without trying. And their secrets could help every one of us to get every good year we can get out of this body of ours. That is the promise of Blue Zones.
Thank you.
pushing the wall or lowering it up.
We're catching.
Yeah. Very well.
That's good, Greg.
Okay, so I didn't show the whole thing. It's an hour and a half long video, but at the end of the video, he summarizes the common denominators between these five different localities around the world. And one of the common denominators is a plant-based diet. And in a number of the cases, there's a small amount of meat included. But notice the comment that he makes. These people live in great health and long life without even trying. It's not that they have a huge medical facility that they go to get this long life and good health. It's that their lifestyle produces that. So they aren't plagued with the modern diseases of cancer and cardiovascular in these different locations. So here's just a random note about sugar. So eating raw sugar cane is very healthy. We saw how the good guys need the glucose. And to empower the immune system, we need the glucose. But stripping away the fiber and processing that cane sugar into processed sugar is bad because it doesn't have any of the bad guy killers in it. And so now the bad guys are free to proliferate as well. So it's interesting how this whole food concept, God created food with bad guy killers in it. And if we strip away the bad guy killers, we are in a bad way. So there's only five small blue zones in the world because the rest of the world is eating similar to the way we eat, a standard American diet. And it is believed that our culture today has only 10% of the good guy bacteria that our ancestors 150 years ago had. So it's no wonder that we have all this chronic disease going on.
Like the acronym, SAD.
Yeah. SAD. It is sad. It's a sad situation. So in addition to rebuilding our gut biome for the ability to properly digest our food, we need to consider the importance also of the oral biome, our mouth. Digestion starts in the mouth. The mouth contains a large percentage of today's our body's microbiome. Chewing our food sufficiently so that it becomes liquefied before we swallow it, it means that a proper amount of good guy bacteria have been released through our saliva glands and promote the healthy digestion that we need. So that's another factor in this whole thing. I don't know why I threw that in right there. But interesting note, right? So first on this blue zone list of common denominators was diet. So the father of medicine, Hippocrates, 400 years before Christ, made a profound statement. He said, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." He said, we don't need all these drugs. We don't need all these pharmaceuticals. We just simply need food. And I've come to believe that from my own experience, and I've come to believe it through the testimonies of so many who have been healed of cancer and healed of cardiovascular and healed of MS and healed of this and that, diabetes, and on and on and on, through the proper use of food. Now, we have to understand what the proper use of food is, because we can buy products in the store that say they have good ingredients, but are they really? So Hippocrates wasn't talking about a Big Mac or a Freddy's concrete. Right?
Are you sure?
Yahweh designed our bodies as, Yahweh designed our bodies to heal if given the right conditions. Yeah, I think that's true. I think there's truth.
And by that he was saying, you know, food should be your medicine, but medicine should be made from your food, is what he was saying.
No.
So when you need a specific medicine,
saying your food is your medicine.
Not late medicine.
Yeah. So yeah, food, he's pinpointing the fact that food is to be our medicine. So what is a whole food plant-based diet? It really comes down to this concept of a whole food, because we can't take peas, for example, and process them and make a pea protein powder that we take in thinking is going to help us with our protein, because that processed food has processed it to the point where it now is heavily amino acids without the other neutralizing effects of the rest of the food. And so we promote disease with processed food. So we want to get down to a whole food concept here. The whole food. If you take part of, I think you get the idea of what I'm saying. Processed food does not give the same healthy results as a whole food plant-based diet. The fiber and the enzymes that are stripped away during the processing process results in a substance that does not have the God-given healing properties. You've got to have the whole thing. Well, I already mentioned the plant-based protein powders.
Right. Our body processes that.
So
it's better for our body process.
Yeah, right. That's the way. Yeah. Yeah. Don't try to do what our bodies are better doing. So I don't know why I showed this. This has organic organic pea protein, this, whatever this was. So just because you purchase something that says it's vegan doesn't mean it's a whole food. Generally, to do a whole food plant-based diet, you need to purchase a product that has only one ingredient. I go to the store and I buy a carrot. That's a one ingredient. Or you can purchase a raw almond. But if you go to the store and you purchase a roasted almond, or a soaked almond, or a salted almond, you aren't eating a whole food. A roasted or soaked or salted almond cannot be placed in the ground and grow an almond tree. The life of that almond has been tampered with by this business of processing it. So it's no longer the God-given healthy food that it was originally intended to be. So she keeps a database, our coach here, of long-term cancer survivors. And for somebody to be on that survivor list, they need to be NED, no evidence of disease, for 10 years or more. Because conventional cancer survivor charts stop at 5 years. And it's interesting how a number of the different cancers will reoccur after 7 or 8 years. So she keeps this 10-year database. And it's interesting how the vast majority of these long-term survivors were using a whole food plant-based diet as their strategy. And she also has reports and testimonies and people that she's confirmed that have been cured of diabetes, cardiovascular, MS, other conditions. So it's really a no-brainer if we understand the concept of healing and strengthening the microbiome. Basically, healing and strengthening the good guys. So the food that we eat needs to be clean food. That means, doesn't mean to be free of dirt. Dirt's natural, and children play in the dirt, and they eat it sometimes. And they are more healthy than the children that are kept away from the dirt. But clean in this context means to be free of man-made chemicals like pesticides, insecticides, fungicides, weed killers, like Roundup, and desiccants like Paraquat. Jody and her husband are organic farmers, and they just really, recently realized that a new trend in farming is to dry down or desiccate the crop before you harvest it because it goes through the combine easier. What do they use to dry it down? They use Roundup or worse, Paraquat. And so they're putting that on that. So we can avoid these chemicals when we purchase our food or get our food, whatever. Making sure that it's USDA organic. Just because it says organic doesn't mean that it's really organic, because we can get a lot of stuff from China or wherever that says organic, but you want it to be USDA organic. Or you can wash your produce with ozonated water. That's the best. Or you can actually use a baking soda mix for washing it, and that works. So the immune system is more than just the microbiome. The immune system is like a system in our body, like our lungs are part of a system. And the immune system is responsible for searching and destroying the outside invaders to the body. The immune system is fed just like the other organs from the microbiome. So a weak microbiome results in a weak immune system. The immune system, just like our faith and our physical strength, needs to be challenged regularly to become strong to its full potential. So although we should protect ourselves from man-made invaders, we should not be overly concerned about natural invaders. This is like eating the dirt. And it's like eating the produce that we have here on the farm. We don't wash the apples that we get because there's other healthy stuff in that apple from the natural. We get a lot of our B12 from the surface on that apple. We get a lot of other microbes on the surface of that apple that help to challenge our immune system.
The worms are the protein.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, a question I have, back up to the second bullet point, just for clarification, are we talking about, because it says that you can eat, essentially, if I were to interpret it, I'm reading that as if we don't buy organic, it's okay as long as we wash with ozonated water or baking soda and water, mix it at that rate. Are we referring to exterior of the fruit and vegetable versus not necessarily saying it's okay to not buy organic, but rather for the cleanliness of the outside of it you're speaking of? Because because of non-organic food could still be fertilized, and that fertilization goes into the water and then it goes up into the plant and what have you. Is that correct? Or is that not correct?
That's an interesting question. According to Jody, that would not be an issue. If we wash the outside of it, we're good to go.
Okay.
Now, it is true that even still the quality of that non-organic is probably less. But she is quick to...
So, you know, in elementary school, when they taught you about, like, osmosis, I think that's what it's called, where the clouds, you know, they pick up the groundwater and they carry it around the earth and water everything. Well, with Fukushima in 2011 and the Pacific really being poisoned, I mean, it's dead. All of that has spread all over the earth. So organic... I believe you would have to really pray over it anyways if you're going to spend the big bucks, because honestly, unless it's covered and Yeshua's covering it, nothing is really that healthy anymore. So I was always taught you pray over every bite, which I need to do. But, you know, like, and of course you make wise decisions, but to spend the big bucks on organic, unless prayer's covering it, it's not really going to do much anymore, because the earth isn't producing.
Good,
I mean, the sin of man has caused the curses, so you're really not, like, unless Yahweh blesses it. So.
Yeah, that's a good point, and it's a point that I'm going to make a little bit later here in terms of why do we go to such extremes. Okay, anybody else? So germophobia is really a counterproductive way of living. We are not stressing our immune system if we're keeping natural germs away from us. And there's a little health hack, I call it, here for helping our immune system become stronger and challenging it. And that's called a contrast shower. 3 minutes, as hot as you can get it, and 30 seconds as cold as you can get it, it really stimulates that immune system to go into action and become stronger. I mean, we grow plants, and those plants are pretty wimpy if there's no wind to cause them to grow stronger and no stuff, so we need to do the same with our immune system. Yeah, chlorine's something we don't want to take in. That's not a natural.
Use natural water from your shower?
Oh, for the shower, yeah.
Okay.
So, shalom. There you go.
Okay, on that very first bullet point, when it talks about fever, and I know that it's the body's way of fighting, right?
Right.
But you say don't intervene. I mean, it's recommended to not intervene accept a higher temp, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean don't take Advil?
Right.
Because does Advil intervene with the fever? It brings it.
Yeah.
It suppresses its.
That's right.
And then anything that would, like over the counter stuff that would help, you know, they have all these studies, right? And I don't.
You're better off to suffer while you're going through that. Oh, you're better off suffering while you go through that experience because it's enhancing your immune system than to try to remove the effects.
We got another question. Is that the same? Maybe this is different for inflammation in the body for like
Same.
Things that bring down.
Yeah, same.
Any type of change.
Same thing. We need to let the immune system do what it's
and eat right.
Doing.
Yeah. So on the organic versus non-organic, I had heard that there's like the Dirty Dozen and that there are some foods that like avocados and bananas, are they okay to not buy organic?
Yeah, that's true. There's a Dirty Dozen and there's a Clean Eight or something. I forget what they are. Yeah.
That second feature up there about the 3 minutes of hot and 30 seconds, how often are they saying you should do that?
Well, I do it whenever I take a shower.
Okay, how often do you take a shower?
Oh, now we're getting personal.
I take a shower maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah, so go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do maybe twice or three times a week.
I want to say something about bananas that are not organic. I had migraines for several years, couldn't figure out why. I mean, debilitating in the bed 3 days. And I finally learned that it was bananas. And I thought it was just bananas. But I learned that I could eat an organic banana and it wouldn't give me a migraine. So I researched it. And I discovered that when they ship the bananas in, they gas them. If they're not organic, they can't gas the organic ones. They gas them so that they'll stop ripening. Then when they arrive at the destination, they're gassed again to cause them to start ripening. And that chemical is actually in the banana.
Okay.
It goes through the peel, into the meat. Banana should be on the
Dirty Dozen.
If it's not, I haven't looked at that lately. And strawberries are the other that are... You're better off not eating them at all than eating one that's not organic. They're terrible. So are peanuts. Peanuts are another one that they're full of fungus that's not good for you, kind of fungus.
Good, thank you.
Greg, I was thinking about the comment about the, you know, the fallout or whatever that has occurred across the world or whatever. But in addition to that, we still, my thinking is that I absolutely don't want to buy non-organic because there's this global fallout that took place. And the reason I say that is because as we're moving forward, do we discount the fact that they're pouring out chemicals all over the foods that are non-organic for the sake of, you know, so in my estimation, the thought of being the contrast, yes, I'm going to spend a little more money, but I'm not going to see a doctor because of all these things. Because when we're looking at this, if you go back and look historically, I'm sure you're going to get into that, is to see where did this all start. And it's what we did to change the way that we, and in fact, they did talk about that, how we garden. In fact, you started with that. And so for that, kind of trying to get back to the original way that we gardened would be to go back to organic. And for that reason, I just am wanting to encourage that we don't discourage the idea of eating organic for that global, you know, fallout situation, which is still there, true.
Sure.
Trying to do the best we can with what we got.
That's a good point, yeah.
Two things, if I'm allowed to have two things. I had read and heard that blueberries are actually better if they're non-organic, if they're from another country. Is that true? Do you know?
I don't know.
Because they don't spray them. The other thing is the grocery stores, the better grocery stores, are starting with this, looks like water, that they're spraying their organic vegetables with, and it's not good. It's more than water. So then you wash them, would that take care of it?
Right. So hopefully it would, yeah. Yeah.
What was her name?
So in addition to diet, another thing that stands out probably at the top of the list in Dan's Blue Zone report is, he didn't call it Shalom, but I'm calling it Shalom. And we see, as we go through that documentary, we see these people living in a real sense of joy, a sense of peace, a sense of Shalom. And that is key, critical to health and longevity. That's one of the things that stood out there. So this business of joy building and what Rhonda has been helping us with is critical. We talk about gentle protector communities where that kind of peace and joy is fostered. And science talks about this in the concept of the nervous system response in our bodies. And somebody living in that sense of peace and joy is living out of what's called their parasympathetic nervous system. People that are living out of their sympathetic nervous system are the fight, flight, or freeze type of people. And those people living out of their sympathetic nervous system, their whole bodily functions change. They're only into the event that's the threat that is coming to them, and how am I going to prepare? Their mind gets focused on that issue. Their body goes into this, bringing all resources to strength and being able to run if necessary. But their immune system shuts down, their digestive system shuts down, their ability to think rationally shuts down. And so that was given to us, as Rhonda teaches, by God for an event that's a threat that's in our face, but it's not something we should be living in. We should not be living in that constantly, because all of these other bodily functions are not working during that time. So this whole business of living in Shalom is so important, but we have, okay, I think I probably covered that pretty much, but we have something in our diet that is contrary to this ability to stay in the parasympathetic nervous system. Yahweh spends a lot of time instructing us about not being in an anxiety state. My peace I leave with you. Fear not, for I am with you. And one thing that keeps us out of Shalom that Chris Wark talks about is forgiveness. And if we have unforgiveness in our heart, we're going to be out of Shalom. We may not think it, but deep down inside of us, we are. So bitterness and unforgiveness, huge factors in this whole journey of health and longevity. He has gone so far as to say, I don't want to be known for my diet plan. I want to be known for helping people understand the importance of forgiveness. And he encourages people to go regularly go to God and ask him to show us areas of unforgiveness in our heart so we can repent and forgive. Only with a right relationship with God and others can we truly live in shalom. Another factor that keeps us out of shalom physically is a thing called excitotoxins. Excitotoxins are substances in our food that stimulate our nervous system into this fight or flight sympathetic nervous system. And there are many excitotoxins in the processed food that we buy on the market. One of the most worst offenders is glutamate. And we've probably heard of MSG, monosodium glutamate, but it's in a lot of other foods. We need glutamate, but we only need a very tiny amount. But if we get it in the form of foods that we eat, we're getting too much. And glutamate is now being shown to be responsible for things like ADHD, Parkinson's. So you probably can't read it, but here are a few of the food supplements that contain glutamate. So when you're buying something at the store and you look at it and see have one of these things on it, you're buying glutamate. And that's another danger of the processed vegetable proteins, is that glutamate is a byproduct.
Can you put that back on for me?
Sure. Okay. Okay, another element that came out of the Blue Zone study is the element of sleep for health and longevity. Deep, restful sleep, so important. That is where our body is rebuilding itself, restoring itself, especially the brain. The brain is doing a lot of detoxing and a lot of rebuilding during the sleep process, especially during that deep REM type of sleep. So if we don't get a good solid 7 hours, and science is saying that no matter what you say, your body really needs at least 7 hours of good solid sleep. If you're not getting that, then we need to work on that. What prevents quality sleep? Well, it's things like the glutamate or whatever it is that's keeping us in the sympathetic nervous system. And unforgiveness and so forth. So we have this thing that God has wired into is called the circadian cycle. It's a cycle of getting up in the morning, getting active, having a lot of energy, and so forth, and then late in the day, winding down, relaxing, getting ready to fall asleep, and so forth. And that cycle is based upon the release of two hormones, the cortisol that comes in the morning, peaks in the noontime.
Hold the mic closer.
Cortisol that comes online in the morning, peaks around noon, and then drifts off. And the opposite thing of melatonin being released in the evening and peaking at midnight or whatever to help us sleep. And if we disrupt that cycle, we have a hard time with good quality sleep. And one of the things that is important to reset that cycle in our lives is natural lighting. God provided that the morning sun and the evening sun are infrared, and those infrared rays on our body in the morning and in the evening help reset that circadian cycle for us. The noontime sun is a ultraviolet type of light, and that is helping to stimulate the cortisol. But so it is recommended 10 minutes of early morning sunshine and 10 minutes of evening sunshine. And you can't get that through the window of your house. You have to be outdoors to get the benefit of that. And even if it's cloudy, you're still getting a sufficient amount of that infrared. So that is really, I have found, very helpful for sleep. And artificial light that we have in our homes is mostly ultraviolet, and it's not very helpful, and it's disruptive. So I've actually got some real cheapy glasses that are blue light attenuating glasses that I wear in the evening and the morning. And I was going to show that chart, but I didn't get it done. And I think I've talked about most everything on that slide. Yeah, I have. So then we get to the area of toxins. And toxins are these substances that are in our world today that weren't so prevalent 150 years ago. And our immune system is really not designed to handle the fumes from a automobile engine that we inhale. Or it's not designed to handle the chemicals that are in the cleaning products that we use in our home. It's not designed to handle the personal care products, toothpaste and facial stuff and all this stuff that we have. It taxes our immune system to the point where our immune system gets so distracted trying to deal with this stuff, it can't heal the rest of the body. It can't do its job. So so I have a list that, if anybody's interested in that, that Chris Wark has put together of some good quality personal care products, home cleaning products, and so forth that a person could get. Not on that list, but needs to be on that list, is Deep Well Botanicals, because they are clearly a product that has been designed to use healthy chemicals.
Yep. We do not pay Greg anything.
Yeah. So natural flavors.
Hopefully this goes viral.
Natural flavors is something that you see on the label a lot of times.
All the time.
And natural flavors are substances that the FDA has allowed the producer to not disclose what it is. So here's one of the main ones. Oops. What happened?
Maybe I'm not supposed to show this one. I didn't think I should. I guess it's not going to work. So this is a little video here that's not, I'm not going to be able to show you, that talks about beaver butt. Beaver butts. Beaver butts. And this gal is sharing how we get one of the natural flavors for strawberry flavoring, some other flavoring for the ice cream when you buy it, that is flavored strawberry ice cream. They get that flavoring from beaver butts. For real. Yeah. Beavers. It's for the natural flavoring. It is cheaper to get that from the real strawberries. Yeah. So it's a little video clip. I wish I could show it. And at the end, she explains what's going on. And she has this little puppet beaver there, and she's talking to the beaver. And then at the end, it shows people sitting around the table, families sitting around the table, and they've got some these beaver things in the middle, and they take them and put them on their food. So the point being that we don't know what is in these natural flavors. But
yeah, we got you.
So then vegetable oils and seed oils. And now there's a lot of controversy, a lot of talk on this subject. And we believe that seed oils, vegetable oils are good, but you don't want to cook with them. So you can use olive oil or sunflower oil or even canola oil on your salads or whatever, but just don't cook with them because that's where the oxidation process takes place, and a lot of toxins, a lot of bad stuff are produced in that process.
What do you cook with it?
Yeah. Well,
avocado oil.
Well,
I mean, that's what you say, Dr.
Well, olive oil. Well, how do you get whole food plant-based? You don't cook it. tell Wanda stove. That. Yeah.
No need for a stove. Microwaves are out. Stoves are gone.
these blue zones, the people are generally cooking.
Yeah.
However, if we have a health situation, we need to really feed the good guys. And how do we feed the good guys? It's got to be raw.
How do you eat beans?
Beans? Yeah, you cook beans. That's right. Yeah, that's one of the...
In water?
Yeah.
Oil.
Yeah, you don't use oil, but you cook them in water. So we've already talked about these different products. And so since man-made toxins are so harmful and so readily available, and we're constantly being exposed to them, we need to consider a regular detox strategy in our lives. Automobile fumes, chlorine in the water, machinery, cleaning, lubricating materials, yard and garden maintenance chemicals, and so forth. Detox strategies, 10 minutes on a rebounder every day gets that lymph system pumping and cleaning things out. 30 to 40 minutes in the sauna. The goal is that sweating, that is a detoxing. Or they now have found out that 45 minutes in a hot water bathtub is even better than a sauna. But you got to have the water hot enough to sweat. Daily consumption of raw garlic and or cilantro is a very, very powerful heavy metal chelator. Get the heavy metals out of your brain. Yeah. Or put it on your salad.
How much?
8 cups.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Garlic, 2 or 3 cloves a day. A 3 to 5 day water fast, but only once every 3 to 5 weeks. The fast, the water fast, like I experienced with my fast, kills the good guys as well as the bad guys. And you need 3 to 5 weeks to restore the good guys before you do it again. And the last on our list is the exercise. And that's probably something we don't need to talk about much here, because I think everybody here gets plenty of exercise. But some people that work in an office and so forth don't. So just like a pond stagnates over time and grows bad guys, our bodies will stagnate. We are 80% water, so we need to be moving. A lot of moving. It's recommended 8,000 steps per day type of recommendation for moving. And then to maintain muscle mass and bone integrity, especially women after menopause, weightlifting. Better than any other supplement, any other strategy, weightlifting. Okay, frequently asked questions. First one, how can you believe that Yahweh has sanctioned a no animal diet when we see so many Old Testament, New Testament examples of people, including Jesus, eating animal? So, I mean, that would be a question that you guys should be asking me. Because I'm sure all of you would like to keep eating your animal. So, here's my, except for your beaver butt, but here's my response to that question. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that God, as he talked about the Garden of Eden, was all plant-based, seeds and fruits and so forth. He didn't talk about eating animal until after the flood. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but so there was a period of 1,000 years where people were not eating animal. At least we think that's the case. And it's interesting that those people lived a long, long time, right? But then people were eating animal as part of their diet. I personally believe that it wasn't a major part of their diet. I personally believe that it was more of the organ meats than the muscle meats, but regardless, they were still eating animal. However, they did not have the stress, the environmental stress that we have today. They did not have all the toxins and so forth. So although it was okay for them, it's not okay for us if we're trying to heal, if we're trying to get healthy. We need to pull out all the stops, and like Jody showed in her picture there, if you're going to put animal substance in your blood, you're going to be growing good guys, and you're not, or bad guys, you're not going to be growing good guys. So we are in a time, if we want to heal and get stronger, where a plant-based diet is to be considered. Second question, how can I fast-track the healing and recovery of my gut biome? One little hack on that, eat an apple and eat a potato that's been cooked and then cooled. And you're gonna get 100 million different species of bacteria from that apple. Now you gotta eat the whole apple. You can throw the stem away, but eat everything else, seeds and core, and then eat this cooled. That gives you the bacteria. Eat this cooled potato, and that gives you the fiber to feed those 100 million species.
In that order.
I don't think it needs to be particularly in that order.
Can you heat the potato back up? How is that? I'm just asking.
So I don't know the answer to that.
The answer is yes.
Okay. You can?
Yeah. It's best, if you're going to do this, from my understanding, it's best to cook the potato, let it sit 8 hours. It's best to let it put it in the fridge overnight, drain the water. If you boiled it, drain the water. If you didn't, just take it out. And then you can heat it. Don't microwave it. You're going to kill all the right stuff in it. Then you can heat it up. And it will actually reduce the starch that's in it, which makes it healthier. Like, that's the only way I can have a potato is if I do that routine before. So, yeah.
Is it only for Irish potatoes, or can it be for sweet potatoes?
And sweet potatoes as well, yeah.
Okay. Yep, that's awesome.
So, next bullet point, how can I know if my microbiome is healthy? How do we know that? Here's the answer.
Not.
Average of 2 healthy, good poops per day. 2.
So, describe healthy, I hate that. Because you go.
Well, you know what sausage looks like, right? So. And next one, if I can't eat animal products, how can I get sufficient protein? That's what everybody talks about, protein. Where do I get my protein? Well, we, Wanda and I, have not eaten animal for the last year, and our protein numbers are right on track, and we're doing well, and I'm building muscle mass here with my weightlifting and so forth, and doing fine on the protein scale. And some of the foods that we eat, the plant-based foods and seeds, are filled with protein, and chia seeds and flax seeds and hemp seeds all heavily loaded with protein. I eat 2 cups of chia seeds every morning.
Two cups,
yeah. And we put a tablespoon of ground flaxseed on our oatmeal in the morning and so forth.
Wait,
and,
did you say 2 cups?
Oh, 2 tablespoons.
Thank you.
Yeah, look at me next year at this time. And, of course, the beans and the legumes all have protein. If I can't take fish oil, how can I get sufficient omega-3? And, again, these seeds, the flax, the chia, very high in omega-3. And next one says, if I'm allowed to eat as much food as I want, won't I get overweight? And look at all the vegans in the world and see if there's any overweight vegans. You just don't. I think it's a mix of the nature of the food and plus your body says, I want this, and I want that, I want this, but it doesn't want the ones that make you fat. So here's a controversial one. Are probiotics helpful in restoring the gut biome? And the answer they have been finding now is the answer is no. Probiotics are actually counterproductive, because they will grow one particular species of bacteria so well that it will force out the other good guys. And one study recently, a bunch of people had hospitalizations and they were given antibiotics, and of course antibiotics will kill that good bacteria. And so they tested two groups, one group without antibiotics and the other group with antibiotics. Within 1 month, the people without antibiotics, they were on a plant-based diet, had restored their gut biome. The people on probiotics, it took 6 months. So we believe that probiotics are not helpful. Should I be cautious about gluten consumption? This is another controversial subject, but again, Jody and her husband are organic farmers, and they contend that there is no genetically modified wheat grown in the United States. There are varieties of wheat that have been selected for their strength to withstand the storms and to be easily combinable. And those varieties do have a little bit more hard gluten in them. And so the gluten sensitivity that we're afraid of is the result of a dysfunctional gut biome. So if we can restore our gut biome, we should be able to eat the various varieties of wheat that are grown. Okay, well, that clock says 1 o'clock. It's supposed to say 12 o'clock. It was supposed to be. Yeah, no, it is 1. So thank you for bearing with my fears. And I'll send you all the beaver butt video if you're interested.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a lot of work.
Yeah.
right, we're all hungry now after all that talk about food, and right, and we're all gonna turn our phones off and go eat some not whole foods. Some of us, anyway, it's great. So the upcoming conference we have at the end of March, the Lord's been tweaking that thing, and we're going to include nutrition and health in that, as well as the Sabbath teaching. I've been digging deep, so I'm going to present that there as well. It's going to be more than just the brain. Who knows what it's going to look like at the end of the day, right? Anyway. And Richard asked me to ask all of us to be praying for Elizabeth. She's in North Carolina, South Carolina?
Yes. Georgia.
She's like right there at the line. Yeah. One day she tells me she lives in Georgia, and the next day.
This morning but, he told me North Carolina.
Okay. So, anyway, she called and said that this, what they're calling the winter cyclone that's hitting the East Coast, they're saying that she to plan to be out of power for 7 days where she's at. And she's alone, and he's here, and so he's left to go call her. So he asked that we would keep her in our prayers. And so we want to make sure we do that as well. Do you have something?
Okay. The only heat up here that's working is in this building here, where you're looking at. In the kitchen area, it's not working. So, if you want to sit in there cold, you can. Even in the small kitchen, it's not working. But you bring your food in here for sure. So it's going to be like run in and get it, run out. It's really cold in there. So we'll call the heat and cooling guy. We'll wait till Monday because they charge, I think it's like $200 to send somebody out just because it's the weekend. So I don't know why it's not working, because it was last week. Anyway, just so you know. But I just wanted you to know that when you go in there, it ain't going to get warm. So make your decisions quick. Come back in here. That's all.
Do you want us to keep these doors closed?
These doors are closed for a reason, because it's holding the heat in here. And when you open those doors, it sucks all the heat out. So
what about the bedrooms on the side?
They have heat vents. They're working. This one bedroom doesn't work heat-wise, but that one does. So we can shut that door. This one heats. This one has heat in it. What it is this quadrant and this quadrant, which doesn't mean anything to you probably, but it's one quarter of the building, is not producing heat. So, but other than that, we don't know why. I'm not a heat expert. When it comes to that, I think there's probably some little gadget blown in it. They got all kinds of electronics. So that said, you just have to figure out how to get in there and get back. I would suggest moving your chairs first.
Yeah.
And set them up around the table.
On both sides of the table.
Both sides, yeah. I don't know how many chairs fit on the inside. You're putting them on the inside and the outside? Because there ain't enough on just the outside. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm just going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings of this day. And thank you for, just being with us, Yahweh.
Yes.
Being present and being in us. We thank you for that. We're so glad of that. And so we bless the food and everyone here, whether they prepare it or they just eat it. In Yeshua's name. Amen.